Blog Talk Radio.
Wins,
losses,
shutouts,
shootouts,
forehand,
five hole.
It's time for your recap of Pittsburgh Penguins hockey.
The most important interviews, best information, hottest news, and no topic is off limits.
Radio PI, now on the Radio PI Podcast Network.
It was a hockey night in the Bay Area in San Jose, California, and that hockey night was a victory for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Another win by the Pittsburgh Penguins. Now one more of those, and they will claim the fourth Stanley Cup in franchise history, the second for the core of Crosby, Malkin, and company, and the first for a guy like Phil Kessel. And the Penguins, wire to wire, right from the jump, when Metallica finished performing the national anthem, we're flying and we're ready to go. Penguins once again get another win. A little bit more of an effort from San Jose, able to generate more shots and finally snap the Pittsburgh Penguins' streak of winning every single period in shots on net. They lost the first period where San Jose was able to claim, but from then on, it was once again, both teams trading off chances, the Penguins having more of those, and then the Penguins picking up goals. More of the Penguin chances end up converting into goals, where San Jose gets one, but it's just not enough. The Penguins win game four of the 2016 Stanley Cup Final, 3-1 your score, and now have those same numbers, a commanding 3-1 lead in this series. One more win, and they will do it in five games and are your Stanley Cup champions and maybe finally get to lift Lord Stanley's Cup for that championship on home ice, as the 91-92 and 2009 Cups were both clinched on the road. We are back for another Radio Gold edition here of the Pens Initiative Stanley Cup postgame show. I am your host, Mike Osti, and as the Penguins now or one more win away from the NHL's version of gold and sipping from hockey's holy grail, that is the Stanley Cup, I will bring you another edition of our gold, and that is Radio Gold here on the Pens Initiative Airways and the Radio PI Podcast Network. This broadcast, well, as everything we do, is made possible and powered by Dr. Sheeler of Sheeler Chiropractic and DKPittsburghSports.com. And before I get to two callers with us from PensInitiative.com to recap, analyze, and provide some commentary for what really was not asinine. Usually there's something asinine. Game four was not really asinine, and the Penguins winning the cup certainly isn't asinine. I'm going to give some dap to one of my favorites and kind of the way the Penguins won this game. The Pittsburgh Penguins are taking a bite out of the Sharks to potentially claim another Stanley Cup. And they're doing it in similar fashion to how this guy wins his fights and his matches. And now going back to the octagon, that is Brock Lesnar, who will have another match pay-per-view in UFC at UFC 200. He announces his return, and he drops an F5 on his opponents to claim his wins. The Penguins drop an F5 on the San Jose Sharks, taking a bite out of the Sharks and claiming another win here in the Stanley Cup Final. Game 4. Won by the Penguins, now a 3-1 lead in the series. So we're going to lead into these calls and lead into our conversation for our Radio Gold as the Penguins are about to pick up some gold of their own. And not really gold, but it's, metaphorically speaking, the Stanley Cup with our F5 of a broadcast. All right, I'm going to leave Brock Lesnar's F5 in the background because that's what the Penguins are doing to San Jose, dropping them on an F5 game after game and get their third win. Game 4, won by the Penguins, now a 3-1 series lead, and it will bring on Nick Case, my co-host for these podcasts on a regular basis, and Nick dropping us a few minutes of his time to drop his hot takes on what was game four. Nick, how are you doing? And well, before we get to your hot take, though, I do have to give you congratulations on the air, since I am now with you. I was not with you last post-game show, and I also forgot to give you the congrats, since I was texting you, dropping you all over social media. This is now your on-air congratulations for your engagement, which occurred in Pittsburgh during game two when you made a trip to watch the Pens in person in Pittsburgh. But, Nick, you didn't get to go to California to watch that one in person, but how was it? The Penguins get another win.
First off, I want to apologize to you because I lied to you on air a while back.
Oh, man.
I said there was a possibility of me coming to Pittsburgh this summer. And you directly said, is that a possibility tied to the Penguins' results in the playoffs? And I said, no.
You said no.
It wasn't going to happen. And sure enough, last minute, I drop everything. My girlfriend, now fiance, drops everything. And we go to Pittsburgh for game two. So I just
I was trying to be a journalist and investigate and report. And you caught me, but you didn't want to give me the goods.
Yeah, I just want to apologize up front and say I'm sorry for lying to you. That was not kosher of me. We're closer than that. I should know to trust you with scoops. But in the end, it doesn't matter. I made it up, and that was the game itself was just phenomenal. Ignoring the personal side because nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear that. the game itself, phenomenal. That was a hungry crowd, and they were for a team that is spoiled with wealth in terms of having Crosby and Malkin, and everybody just expects to win every year. They haven't, and the fans know this, and they are hungry. They wanted that other cup, and before the pregame laser show on the ice even started, there was just a buzz in the air, and it carried through the entire team and the entire game emotionally, and it was just a fantastic, fantastic experience. Just the crowd and the buzz was beyond reproach.
I'm sure. I wasn't in person for that game, but I'm sure I've been to some playoff games over the years, and especially now when you do have the Penguins dealing with 6 years of playoff disappointments. They see the Blackhawks dynasty. They see the Kings win a couple. They all have young players and are doing it. And a lot of the Penguin fan base gets annoyed because they feel like it should have been the Penguins dynasty. All that noise of you got to get a second cup or Crosby and Malkin's careers are all for naught. And now, three wins. They're one more away from kind of putting all that to bed because then that would be the second cup. That would give them the same as Lemieux and Jágr together. That would put them on pace to maybe do this again. The conversation would be, can you finally go back-to-back? They would have already appeared in the same amount of finals as Kane and Taves, despite winning one less cup. So those conversations might still go on by some yinzers and idiots, but it would be certainly a lot less prevalent. And being a Penguin fan would become fun again, as it's been throughout this cup run. It really wasn't fun the last 5 or 6 years. The Penguins are bringing the fun back, not only maybe bringing the cup back.
And you're absolutely right. And even up until December, November, it just felt more fun. It just felt like it was dead in the water, like this franchise was just stale. And it felt like changes needed to be made. And you thought, you know, these guys can't get the job done. These big guys, they've been here for so long, it's not getting the job done. It's time to change things around. And really, it was hard to fault anyone for thinking that. You know, people would say it's time to trade Crosby and Malkin. And the idea seemed foolish, but you also understood because you watched the on-ice product, and it was boring. You watched the fan reaction, and it was tepid. And it just was it was everything wrong with the past 6 years finally culminating in a tipping point. And credit to Jim Rutherford, credit to all of the 10 GMs that they have up there, from Bill Guerin, Jason Botterill on down, for making the right moves, for sticking to a game plan of keeping their – that core together, and it's paid off in spades. And I don't want to say this with hyperbole, but to an extent there is some, but this season has saved the Penguins. They weren't going to move anywhere. They were going to keep selling out games. That was, you know, that's fine. That's whatever. But in terms of excitement and hope, this season saved the Penguins. And it's been phenomenal to watch the whole thing unravel since Mike Sullivan took over and people like Hagelin and company were traded for. It's a night and day, and it's just it feels fresh. It feels new. It's like falling in love with your first love all over again.
Well, the Penguins were once literally saved. The franchise literally saved many years ago from moving away. There was a literal save with this Penguin franchise. And as you said, they're not going to move away anymore. They're still going to be entertaining, going to be covered, and going to have fans going. But they saved the fan base. They definitely saved the fan base, at least saved the fan base from being a fun fan base to be in and be around, because it really wasn't that way the last 5 or 6 years. Media, fans, everybody, even players, they looked like it was a country club atmosphere. They weren't having fun. They didn't like it. Everyone was just so uptight and so overstressed. And this almost is a monkey to get off the back. I know Sharks fans, if any of you are listening to this, are going to be really annoyed because your franchise has never won a cup. This is your first final. Joe Thornton, 19 years, finally in the final. You guys have had over a decade of this group mostly together with the exception of a goalie and a few others, and not even getting past the Western Conference final with only a couple of those appearances and only one by Thornton prior to this year. So I'm sure you guys are saying, man, we really know about not getting over the hump, stressed out and failing and underachieving. You guys don't. You had, even as Doc Emrick said, these are two starving fan bases, but at least the Penguins had the cup and two finals mixed in to the starvation in the last 10 years with this era of hockey. The Sharks didn't get that. So I get the Sharks fan feeling in terms of they're the team looking to get over that hump, and they're the underdog, and they're the team trying to finally do it and break their drought and curse. The Penguins don't have a curse, but because of having Crosby and Malkin and having those once-in-a-generation type players, there was a Yankee-like pressure here that is arguably unreasonable, definitely unreasonable, but it existed. And winning this cup now, after everything the team and franchise has been through the last 5, 6, 7 years, is a big deal, is a monkey off the back, is a weight lifted off the shoulders, and is a little bit of a breaking of a drought, even though it wasn't that long. It's not a curse, but this is a necessary cup to save the franchise, to save the fan base, to make hockey fun again, to save several of these players' legacies that apparently needed saved. It's an important cup to happen now, maybe even more important than the 09 cup. They hadn't won since 92. That was a much longer time period, but this might be even more important for this franchise now, for the legacy to happen now. When they won in 09, Nick, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but when they won in 09, with the age of those players, even though you wanted to win, they were ahead of schedule, you figured, which is why you thought you'd see more cups. The fact that you didn't require this one now to happen, and this one is not ahead of schedule. This one, if it didn't happen now, people were concerned it maybe never would happen again with this group.
I think that's the perfect way to put it, too, because ahead of schedule. And Ray Shero's master plan was, you know, to let these guys develop and draft better and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you saw that happening in 2007 and 2006 and 2008. And then he saw a chance, and he got Marian Hossa. And they just went on a run. And suddenly that door that was slowly opening was wide open. But it was a year or two ahead of where kind of they all thought they would be. And it kind of hastened the trading off of assets and not keeping people and trading off of stocks. And, you know, I'm not saying that it was a bad thing they won by any means, because that's a foolhardy comment. You want to win a cup, no matter what chance you get. As soon as you get that opportunity, you want to win it. But it could be argued that winning that cup ahead of schedule may have set the franchise back just a little bit. They may have had less as a result. It might not be the strongest argument, but you see the players that Shero may have drafted if he'd kept draft picks instead of trying to restock for another cup run. And you wonder, is winning that cup ahead of schedule, did it prevent them from winning a few? What's done is done. The past is the past. The Penguins have won. But as you said, ahead of schedule, it kind of set unfair expectations going forward for the rest of that core.
Right.
You know, suddenly these guys are 21 and 22, and they're winning the cup after losing it the year before. They should be there every year. Well, no, that's just not how sports work, no matter how dominant you are. And then suddenly their salary caps are shooting up, and they're eating up more of the budget. And it was all just kind of a roller coaster, not a roller coaster, a snowball effect from there. And you didn't see that in Chicago. You saw Kane and Taves slowly ascend. You saw them slowly rise. They had bridge deals. Whereas Crosby and Malkin went from rookie contracts to 8.1 to 8.7 million and 9+ million. Kane and Taves had the chances to make 4 or 5 million in between their big contracts, which led to them being able to load up their teams. And so, long-winded way of saying you're absolutely right when you say what arriving ahead of schedule did to this team. Set unfair expectations, and it really set them back a bit. As nice as that cup was, it's weird to wonder in alternate universe, if they don't win right away, do they win more?
Yeah, maybe you don't win in 08, you don't go to the final in 08, you don't win in 09, and maybe you, I don't know, maybe you win 13, 14, and 15, or one of those years, and maybe you win a couple in a row, you win, maybe you would have won last year, you win this year, maybe you win next year. It's an unnecessary, almost a moot point of a conversation, but yeah, in terms of what is part of this conversation, they were creating an unfair expectation for the fan base because they didn't have to go through as many growing pains as even Lemieux had to do, where he had to wait until Yager came after really dealing with the slop of the franchise for many, many years. Kane and Taves, progression. Even the Red Wings in the 90s, there was several years of a progression before they had to lose the finals. And it wasn't the next year. It was 2 years later before they won a cup. And then it took them several more years later after 98, and they went back-to-back to win another one. I mean, usually teams go through a natural progression. The Penguins kind of – Crosby was able to drink legally, and all of a sudden he's a Stanley Cup champion, having been in two finals. It's really unbelievable, actually, and maybe did create that unreasonable expectation. But at the end of the day, when his career is over, right now you're looking at two cups, three finals, and all the individual hard work he has. It's not going to matter what year you win in, as long as you get it done. And we're a little bit of card ahead, of course, because the Penguins do have one more win to pick up before they have all of this accomplished. But it seemingly seems like this is really going to happen. And even your post in our private group of Pens Initiative, they're really going to do this. Still surprising from where they were. We keep talking about it every show, but it still is kind of surprising, the turnaround with the new coach and what they've done in this playoffs. And it's almost surreal that, yes, they're going to do this. These star players have won before, with the exception of Kessel, so it's not a shell shock as if, say, the Cavaliers would win for Cleveland fans in the NBA, but it's still kind of shocking for a Penguin fan that, yes, they're going to really do this after the years of dealing with disappointment when they maybe should have done this earlier. And I don't know, it's still kind of surprising. And really, until that final horn sounds for the fourth win, you're almost waiting for that glass slipper to fall off or something, the foot. But Nick, I know you have to go and you can't be with us for this whole hour plus for this post-game show. Any other thoughts either on Game 4 and how the Penguins were able to get this Game 4 win, what they have to do in Game 5, because the only difference could be from the other three cups. I would imagine, at least we want them to, finally win one of these on home ice and be able to lift the cup on home ice in Pittsburgh, take it out of the stadium right after winning, do it on your logo. They haven't been able to do that, the other three. There should be some kind of sense of urgency to do that. But San Jose looked better in this game than they had the previous three, even including their win when they were mostly outplayed. What do the Penguins need to do to win this in five? And any other thoughts either on how shocked you are this is actually going to occur, and maybe how they were able to do it in game four?
Well, we'll take this three steps. First, with how shocked I am. I was working a baseball tournament when the Pens clinched the trip to the Cup. And the director in my ear said, "Be honest, did you see this coming at the start of the year?" And I was very quick to say, "Absolutely not. I didn't see this coming midway through the season." I thought when Sullivan took over, best case scenario was second round loss, you know, let them grow, fine. So to see this is still mind-blowing. To have been there for a game, it still hasn't really registered. Until they lift that cup, it won't seem like reality. But oh my God, they're probably going to do this. Like I say there's a 90% shot they actually do this. And it's postseason. They've given no indication that they won't put the foot down when they sense the blood in the water. And I have full confidence they're going to do this. You look back in past years with Johnston briefly and with Bylsma in his time, they have a chance to you know, there's blood in the water, and they don't do anything. You expect that shoe to drop. You expect them to blow the lead. You expect them to drop two or three games straight. You don't think – I don't see that happening with this team. Even if they don't get it done next game, I just don't see it going past six games, and that's just amazing that so far out we're able to see this. And you look back to where we were, and yet here we are. It's stunning. As to what they do, what they should do in game five, it's like I said, they've done a great job of closing it out. They know the tempo they need. They know the urgency they need. They need to match San Jose's urgency, and that's pretty much what it comes down to. That's the key. Technicals, X's and O's, they've been playing great. I've been impressed with Ben Lovejoy, the guy. Possession numbers, as I said on Twitter, possession numbers aren't good.
How about Ben?
And that's not his game, but you know what? Watching him, he has played smart, simple, inelegant hockey that has been perfect for the kind of player he is. He hasn't trying to play out of himself, which he's been accused of doing in the past, and when he's been whipping boy. But he has just been steady Eddie, and he's been fantastic back there. You know, contributing on offense, playing smart, simple defense. I can count at least three times in game two that I saw him in his own end make good positional saves and moves to clear pucks out. And that's the game he should be playing. And he's finally simplified to where it's important. And he's just found another level for his position at number six defenseman. He's been great. And same with Mata. As you said on Twitter, and I backed you up, since his time off, his time in the press box before Daly was hurt, he's looked like a different player. He's still been slow of foot, but he's been playing much smarter. He's been playing much simpler. He's been playing within himself, and he's not trying to do too much. And he's a skilled enough guy where not trying to do too much is still doing plenty. So that's been huge. And if they can keep doing what they did early on in this game for about half the game, which is they'd find a way to get down low and then find an opening because the Sharks would collapse, and they'd find a defenseman trailing, which opened up four or five opportunities, including one which Cole buried. You know, if they keep finding that seam, they're going to get plenty of shots on Jones, who's played well, but beating him. Same with Vasilevskiy. He played well, but they beat him. Same with Holpe. He played well, but they beat him. Same with Henrik Lundqvist. They played well, but they beat him. Just keep firing pucks on net. Just keep pushing hard. Match the urgency. And these guys are going to be fine, and they're going to lift the cup on home ice, which, if you weren't watching the NBC Sports broadcast, Doc Emrick dropped a fascinating, fascinating stat. Since Bill Mazeroski's walk-off home run, Pittsburgh teams have won 11 championships, not a single one at home. So it'd be fantastic to finally get one back after 72 years? Or not 72, oh wow, 42 years, 52 years, somewhere in that span?
Yeah,
72, 52, whatever, same thing.
Quick
math. I'm not good at math. I talk. I don't know math, you know.
Yeah.
So it'd be fantastic to finally see them win a championship at home for the first time since the 60s, since 1960.
Yeah, I mean, that is tremendous. Granted, maybe in terms of the moment, that might be the biggest moment out of all of them to ever do that, because it was a home run in a game seven or a game six, actually, I believe. Or, no, it was a game seven. Never mind.
Game seven, yeah.
Yeah, game seven. Yeah, I was thinking of Joe Carter, but that was Joe Carter was game six. Regardless of trying to do math and hit sports trivia out there throughout history, the Steelers aren't able to win theirs at home because Super Bowl's played in a different location every year. And the Pirates did win several, but clinching those on the road, apparently. So that does, again, go back to the Penguins, and all of Pittsburgh once again points back to the Penguins, and the Penguins are in the here and now. So this is the opportunity when you have that generational player to do with Crosby, and to get that second championship really does solidify things, especially in a third final. This is an important championship for legacies of so many, and you kind of touched on it throughout these playoffs, with the exception of the power play, and they got a power play goal in this game. Everything they've touched has turned to gold. Just like our broadcast here. We got gold for ourselves. Everything for them has been gold. It's been phenomenal. It's been the exact opposite of every playoff series, every postseason at least, since 2009, where even winning, you didn't feel that confident because there was just something going on where they had that country club atmosphere, that there was so much stress involved, and then they would end up usually getting eliminated in an embarrassing fashion. Here, They're getting the lucky bounces. They're overcoming referee blunders. Both teams are having those issues, but they're getting the calls they need. They're having their stars give them the moments they have to, even if they're not playing well all the way through. They're getting role players to step up. They're having a goaltender do enough for them. Everything they're touching is turning to gold, even solving decisions. So this really does feel like it's going to happen. It's phenomenal what's going to happen now in this moment of this franchise. And I like to touch on what's asinine and like to provide the skepticism, but there's really not much to be negative about here. 3-1 the series, one more, and they win the cup. And no Pittsburgh franchise has been able to do it despite championships since Mazeroski's homer in Game 7 of the 1960 World Series of the Yankees. So it would be nice to do it at home. But I don't think either of us or any Penguin fan out there, even the Penguins themselves, would be too upset if it has to be on the road. I mean, you'd like to do it at home, but if it can't be at home in Game 5, you don't want it to then be at home, because then you're looking at Game 7, and I don't think anyone can really handle that in terms of a stress level and in terms of a heart attack. So the Penguins.
Pretty sure Twitter would actually explode if it went to Game 7.
That would probably be. So we're looking at Game 5 maybe to try to snap that drought for Pittsburgh Sports and do it finally at home. But if not then, we'll be certainly glad to have Metallica opening us up again and have Metallica sit in the car. and then do it in 6. But Nick, congrats on the engagement again, and we will.
Thank you.
Looking like at least you're gonna get not only one ring, but maybe a second ring when the Penguins win that cup. So we'll see.
We'll see, Mike. Until next time.
We will meet again. Until next time.
Indeed.
Nick Case, congrats on the engagement, and with that, I will bring on my second guest from PenguinsInitiative.com to talk more about the Penguins about to win their fourth franchise Stanley Cup and what that means. But we touched on the moments and what that means for Pittsburgh Sports and the Penguins so much with Nick. I'm going to try to get to Game 4 and what really the Penguins did to get this Game 4 win with Jeff Vermanchin. And, Jeff, you didn't really need to sip on the coffee and really worry about it too much, and you're going to not get to bed because you're talking on the show. But besides that, the Penguins didn't need to keep you up. It's always been about the coffee and the caffeine for you, but it wasn't a concern because the Penguins get the win. They are able to hang on for more of a comfortable win here in Game 4, and now the Penguins lead the series 3-1. One more win, and they're Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right, Mike. It was kind of, the score, I think, tonight was – you know, finally we had some breathing room, but at the same time, I think the Sharks might have played their best game of the series. So it's kind of been a wacky series in that sense, how the Pens have controlled the play, but haven't really been able to put the Sharks away, and the Sharks have scored some timely late goals to make it close. And now tonight, I kind of felt like, you know, the Sharks really had their game and answered back. And sure enough, the Pens win by a couple and give us some breathing room. So it's been a wacky series in that sense, but a lot of fun, and, you know, a lot of fun to watch. And now, here we are. Like Nick said, it really seems like it's going to happen. And it's hard to believe where we were just 6 months ago, but we made it.
This really does seem like it's going to happen. They are going to do this. And granted, we've talked about sports history for Pittsburgh Sports and the Penguins. There also could be some history if the Sharks would come back and win this series. And there has been teams in the Stanley Cup playoffs to come back from down 0-3 in a series to win a series. And we've seen in other sports as well with the 0-4 Red Sox. So it's not impossible, and 3-1 is not 0-3. So if they happen to win Game 5 on the road, like they've been able to win a game on the road before in their lives, they're then going home, and then you go to Game 7, and even though it's in Pittsburgh, you just throw the dice down, and anybody can win any given day. So you don't know. The Penguins last cup, they were able to win a Game 7 on the road. It's certainly possible, and that's why the sense of urgency there is in Game 5. Is there a sense of urgency for you for the Penguins to do this in Game 5 because they're going on the road to San Jose in Game 6, and then there's a Game 7, even though they played so well in this series that I'm almost tempted to believe that even if San Jose takes Game 5, the Penguins are almost destined to do this. They've just been the better team throughout this series. They've got most of the bounces. San Jose got an overtime win, but otherwise the Penguins have really been head and shoulders the better team. San Jose's win, you could arguably say they stole it. But is there a necessity to win that Game 5? Or are you kind of leaning to the Penguins just being destined and they're going to do this and you're that confident no matter what happens in Game 5?
Well, I don't feel that it's a necessity to win Game 5. I certainly feel like they could win the series on the road in Game 6 if necessary. And like you said, then we're looking at pretty much a toss-up in Game 7. But I don't think it's a necessity, but I do think it's a necessity that they come out desperate, and certainly the Sharks will be. And I want to see the Penguins match that and go even farther. And I think with the Cup being in the building, a chance to win it at home for the first, you know, although this group isn't thinking about the past, I'm sure that with the kind of season it's been, you know, the first half of the year, you know, it was just hard to watch at times. And now here we are, one win away from the Cup. I have to believe those guys want to do it with their fans, their families, you know, and they can go home and sleep in their own bed and celebrate with their own families. And
be nice.
You know, I just think Mike Sullivan, I think, you know, he's going to have that big speech ready for Game 5. This is it. The Cup's here. You know, we're not making that long flight back to San Jose. It's here tonight. We're going to take it tonight. And I really do. I don't like to discount the Sharks, and they have impressed me with their wherewithal. They haven't, you know, they haven't gone away. They've gotten drastically outplayed, but they haven't gone away. But I just I was concerned after that the goal Murray gave up late in Game 3, you know, then they go on to lose that game. I thought, maybe is this the moment that Matt Murray finally plays like a rookie, you know? But sure enough, tonight he came and he gave up one early in the third and held on and looked great. That was my only concern after Game 3, and I think Matt answered the bell, and I think Thursday night is it. I think the Pens get it done, and my favorite part about the whole thing is I think after his game tonight, I think Phil's got his fingerprints all over that Conn Smythe trophy, so I can't wait to see that.
It does appear Phil Kessel could win the Conn Smythe. Matt Murray would be another candidate, but I would like to see Phil win it after the offseason he had with Toronto and leaving that franchise and having to be a great player in a franchise that wasn't winning for so many years and coming to Pittsburgh and not only being a part of this team, but being an integral part of this team winning and a necessity to this team winning and really consistently being the best of that three-headed monster. He was the third guy with Crosby, Malkin, and Kessel, and Malkin might not be fully healthy. Crosby had his game winners, but Kessel's been that consistent force for them all through the playoffs. And once again, they're one win away from making this all as special as it can be for all of eternity. And remember this with all the other championships, the Penguins and all of these other Pittsburgh franchises have won over the years. Going to this game four, though, Jeff, what did Malkin do in particular? What triggered Evgeny Malkin's eruption? Because I have been focusing this when I've been on different radio shows and I've been talking to other people in person and on social media about Malkin's not deserving of this heap of criticism. Yes, you want more from him, but he's probably not 100%. He is still helping this team. You can help a team and play well when you're not getting stats. We keep harping on this, but hockey really needs a keen eye to analyze. You can play well without being on the stat sheet. Malkin's been generating offense and creating chances and open up space for others, but just has not been able to get on the stat sheet. Finally does tonight, breaks through, has one of those Malkin-dominating games, has the gallop in his step that you want to see from Malkin. He looked 100% in this one. What triggered the eruption of the old Evgeny Malkin, who returned in Game 4 in a critical victory for the Penguins, now one win away from the Cup?
Well, you know, as crazy as it is to say, I think that with Sidney Crosby being on his team, I think maybe not in Pittsburgh. I think, you know, in Pittsburgh he's fully appreciated, but around the country and in the national media, Evgeny Malkin somehow still gets overlooked. And, you know, going back to 2009, he won the Conn Smythe Trophy. You know, to be honest with you, I don't know how many people outside of Pittsburgh would even know that, you know, but Gino is one of the top three players in the world when he's healthy. And when he turns it on to that next level like it was tonight, from his first shift, you can see it. And it's just, he's got that look in his eye, and he's physical, and he's fast. I mean, he's kind of like almost like a LeBron James of hockey. He's huge, he's fast, he's strong. When he's going like that, he's got it all, and he's as dominant as anybody. Sid's been dominant with the puck, I think, all series long. He hasn't gotten the results either. But Gino, I think, really started to rev it up in Game 3, and then tonight obviously culminated there with the assist early on and then the power play goal finally that they get late. But, wow, I mean, when Gino's going, he's just that good, I think. You know, I just think he's a world-class talent who really has that knack for scoring big goals and playing clutch in big games. And somehow that gets overlooked. You know, Sid's done great things. Sid's won a gold medal. He scored the game-winning goal there. We know Sid's accolades. We don't have to list them. And I think for whatever reason, Gino gets overlooked at times by the national media. And it's a shame. And I think, like you said, you need to know hockey a little bit to watch the game and know that a guy doesn't need to be on the score sheet to be dominating the game. And, you know, I think just outstanding from the drop of the puck tonight. He just best player on the ice, hands down. It wasn't even close. And, you know, the Sharks, to me, kind of didn't even want a piece of Gino tonight. You know, it was like they kind of stayed away a little bit. They didn't want nothing to do with it. And, you know, how does he end up all alone on the back post there on the power play with nobody near him? You know, that blows my mind. But, you know, to see him finish there was great. And to see the emotion, you know, nobody celebrates better than Gino when he scores a big one. And, you know, it's been a fun run, and it's all coming together at the right time. And I want to see everybody get their little piece of the pie here. You know, Phil's been great. Sid's had his game winners. But, I think we're going to see Sid. We're going to see Gino, all them guys. I think we're going to see them all play well in Game 5 and in a Stanley Cup Finals clinching victory, hopefully.
Yanni Malkin, he definitely does those I am score celebrations better than anybody else. And Yanni Malkin is always entertaining, whether he's on the stat sheet or not, and his hard work, and he might not be 100%, but Yanni Malkin at 70% is better than most guys. And Yanni Malkin finally erupted offensively in this Game 4 to put the Penguins 1-1 away from the Stanley Cup. And what do you believe? Is it just the Penguins are so much better? Because even though they're a really, really good team and they're so deep, they had to have their struggles with Washington a bit. They had to go to 7 and be trailing 3-2 with Tampa Bay. But in this series with San Jose, who came out of the West, a tough Western Conference, several teams with recent dynasties they had to get through and have eliminated. They finally got over the Kings. They able to do this to St. Louis, who also was hungry in a Western Conference Finals. I mean, San Jose had to have a difficult road. They're a good team. Joe Thornton's a Hall of Famer. Patrick Marleau probably is a borderline Hall of Famer. They had their own 22-year-old young stud goaltender. They've been building for this for years, as well as like the Penguins have been building. But yet, they look like a team in a lower class. And yes, they've had their moments, and I don't mean to discount them either, because it's an accomplishment just being in the Cup Final. They're a good team, and I'm happy for Thornton and company. But they just seem outmatched by the Penguins. The Penguins just seem like so much better of a team throughout these games, controlling the puck, generating more shots, just controlling the tempo, no matter where, whether it's in Pittsburgh or San Jose. Is it the something San Jose's not doing? Why is San Jose struggling so much? Or is it simply the Penguins are that much better and we're really realizing it in this Cup Final? Despite San Jose being a good team, the Penguins are just that much better.
Well, it's funny, you know, I remember going back to the night the Penguins eliminated Washington. I was on the show with you, and we both stated that we felt like the Sharks would be the toughest matchup for the Penguins had they made it this far. And my reason for that then was that, you know, like you said, these Hall of Fame guys who have had a career full of playoff disappointments, you know, if they get into a Cup Final, I would have had to believe they would be certainly dangerous, you know, that they finally made it here. But it seems that's the case. They've made it. And I just haven't seen the urgency that I thought I would from a team with that kind of history. But not so much that, but I do believe that it's more what the Penguins have done. I think the Penguins have outclassed them in every way in this series. I give the Sharks credit. I give their young goaltender a ton of credit for keeping them in games. And I give them credit for scoring some timely goals. But, I mean, Justin Braun being the best, you know, the most productive Shark scoring goals in the series, that doesn't bode well for them having a chance in the series. And their stars just have had no answer. Even when the Penguins stars aren't scoring, they've limited, you know, the Sharks' top players very, very much so. One good period they played in game one, you know, they were down 2-0. They tied game one up at 2. You know, they played here and there a good 5-10 minutes, but they just haven't been able to put it together. Tonight they were still a little better, but I still felt like, hands down, the Penguins were the better team and certainly had the better players. To me, it's all about what the Pens are doing. You know, systematically, they're executing better. And the speed difference is very evident. There's been a lot of talk about the ice out in San Jose. I still personally think, I think it's bad ice for both teams. So to me, I still see the Penguins outskating the Sharks. Maybe it's not quite at the same speed it was in Pittsburgh, but to me, the Penguins are still, you know, skating circles around the Sharks, really, in terms of speed. And, you know, a couple chances they missed tonight, this game could have really been not even close. And that's kind of been the story of the series. To me, like, you know, I give the Sharks credit and everything. I don't want to sound like a jerk. But they are, in my opinion, lucky that this series isn't already over. And they're lucky that these games have been as close as they've been. I feel like this could have been an unbelievably, you know, drama-free Stanley Cup final. The Penguins could have absolutely buried these guys already and done it every single game. But, you know, I guess that's where the Sharks deserve some credit. They've been, but not really broken, and they're still in it. And, you know, if they can come win a game five in Pittsburgh with the cup in the house, they're going to take some momentum out of that. And I'm sure the Shark Tank would be a tough place to win a game six. But the Penguins are the better team. Nobody could possibly argue that. I don't know why they were so heavily picked against. You know, I don't know why so many of the so-called experts picked San Jose going in. I didn't understand their reasoning then. I don't understand it now. And the Penguins have clearly proven they're the better team.
The Penguins have clearly proven they're the better team, at least through four games of the Stanley Cup final. And not to discredit the Sharks, they could come back. They have won three games in a row throughout this season before, and they're going to have game six at home, so they go back home if they would win a game five, and then game seven, you throw the dice, anybody can win. So it's not impossible. We're kind of putting the cart before the horse a bit, but I feel comfortable in doing so and having a show this way with one more win needed, because the Penguins have played so well. It's not like they're crawling through these wins. Even the games they win by one goal, they could easily have won by three or four goals with so many missed opportunities they had while generating so many shots. They're doubling up San Jose in shots those first couple games. They have game three stolen from them despite being the better team and playing better, and they win this one in probably the most impressive fashion of any of these four games so far in this cup final for a team to get a win. So I couldn't be more confident one more win needed with how this series has gone. And this a five-game series win for the Penguins, doing it this way, being this much better throughout this series, would be a gentleman's sweep. It'd be fair to call it a gentleman's sweep. San Jose got one overtime win, but they were actually outplayed in that game. The Penguins have been the better team every other game. They've proven to be the better team in this series. And I actually did think this would be a long series. I thought San Jose maybe could win it. When I was going into the series analyzing it, I gave San Jose maybe more credit than they should have had. I thought this matchup wasn't the best for the Penguins. I thought this was maybe a series that could go to San Jose, but I was wrong, some other analysts were wrong, and the Penguins are proving us all wrong with what they're doing.
I agree. I thought Penguins in seven going in. I was scared of what the Sharks were bringing to the table. Pavelski was, you know, he lighting the world on fire, scoring goals. Thornton had a ton of assists coming in. The numbers they were putting up were awfully scary, and I really felt like that dynamic of them having so many past failures, I felt like they would certainly feel this was their time. And, you know, as much as we all want the Penguins to win this series, that wouldn't have been a bad story, you know, for the Sharks to pull it off. And even now, if they do come back and find a way to win three games, what a story that is for them. So, I certainly felt, I was with you, I felt like this was going to be a long series. And I'm surprised at how it's gone, but, you know, after game two, I thought if the Sharks didn't really respond in game three, that this could get away. And I think I said after game two, I felt like it would be a sweep. And, you know, like you said, that's a good way to put it, a gentleman sweep. That's the best way to say it. I think that's what we're looking at. And I just think for whatever reason, maybe it's that, you know, the Penguin Stars have been here before. Maybe that experience is the difference. Maybe the Sharks need to lose before they can win. But frankly, you know, they're getting towards the end of their run together. Whereas when the Penguins lost in 08, they were just kind of starting. So I'm sure the Sharks wouldn't accept that logic. But yeah, this is the way it's turned out. And you know, I can't wait till Thursday. Tuesday and Wednesday are going to be an awfully long 48 hours at this point.
Yeah, blast of Metallica for you. They were also one of the stars of this game four. Not only the Penguins with the win, but Metallica, just a phenomenal national anthem. How unique and cool was that to see Metallica opening up a Stanley Cup final game performing the national anthem? Usually you get some pop star, some chick with a long vocal cord and a ballad type voice, and you don't normally get Metallica. You don't normally get Metallica bringing the house down before even the puck drops, so... You get Metallica tonight, you get a Penguins win, you can't ask for much more in a Stanley Cup final game. Yeah, San Jose, I did think it would be much more of a test to the Penguins than they apparently have been proven to be. I think many are surprised by this, maybe pleasantly surprised, maybe not pleasantly surprised if you're on San Jose's end, but this series has not really gone even close to being a competitive series, even with these games being close and with it being 3-1 and not 4-0 already. The Penguins have just been such a better team throughout most of these games, and even getting the lucky bounces, finally getting a power play goal tonight, finally seeing Malkin erupt. There's just not much more you could want from a series like this. It would really be a gentleman's sweep if the Penguins do this on Thursday and do this in five. And it'd be an important cup to help the legacies of Crosby and Malkin, Letang, Kessel his cup. This will be an important cup in this era. The fun has returned to the fan base. The pressure is still there. The stress is still there, but it's not as evident. They're not playing as uptight. The disappointments of the past 5, 6, 7 years are not going to be as much of a looming force over this franchise as they've been. And that regime won a cup and went to two finals. Now this new regime could potentially win a cup and maybe, who knows, next year, the year after. Because even though San Jose themselves, if you have to ask the question, who win or lose, if we didn't even know going into this series, win or lose, which one of these two teams would be back next year. San Jose could be back next year, but that's about it. Thornton and Marlowe, this was their shot. I'm glad they got to one cup final, but this realistically was their shot. You knew this, which is why you wanted to see them at least get this far, but it's been 19 years for Thornton. This is likely his shot. The odds are stacked against him getting back. Penguins in 08, even losing, he knew at 22 years old with Crosby he was going to get back again, or at least he figured he would. Got back the next year and won. Took him many years to get back again, but now looking like another win. He's still a young man. They're still a young man. Most of the prime and core of this team is in their prime, and it's anywhere from 26 to 32 years old. So there are potentially more cups to be won, but right now focus on the present, and it looks like the fourth cup is coming home to Pittsburgh. Jeff, anything else either on game four or this series? I mean, it has really been all Pittsburgh. San Jose, I guess I'll just ask you simply, do you believe San Jose had the best game of this series in this game four? I mean, they lose by two goals. The other games they lose by one goal and then they won in overtime. It really sounds bizarre to say, but they had spurts of having their best game. They started off their best game, at least, and then it faded again. They really haven't had a game of a solid three periods, but how would you evaluate the Sharks in this game?
Yeah, I think it was their best game if you look at the full 60 minutes, but I very much agree with you. They came out skating. They looked good from the start. Once the Pens scored that goal, from then on, I think the Pens carried the play most of the way, but they did have some moments, some spurts, where I think that made this their best game. But I will say that that's the biggest reason I think this series is over in Game 5, is because if you're San Jose at this point, what could you possibly grasp onto and say, this is what we need to do to win this series? Where do you go? I mean, You know, you made it through the first two games. Yeah, you lost them on the road, so you can say we're going home. And now you went home and you lost a big game four at home. You were shutting down – well, you weren't shutting them down, but they weren't on the score sheet, Malkin and Crosby. Now they are. Where do you possibly turn if you're San Jose to feel good about this? I know there's going to be the coach speaking and one game at a time, and we'll go back to the drawing board and all that stuff. But really, when they're on that plane flying to Pittsburgh, you know, what's going through their minds positive, thinking that they can attack the Penguins? Where can they find a weakness in the Penguins? I just don't see it. And I think it's all come together. It's like Nick said when he was on it, it's been a snowball effect. And Sid's got that look in his eye. Gino's got the look in his eye. Phil Kessel's playing phenomenal hockey. Matt Murray's solid in net. All up and down the lineup, they're getting contributions. San Jose is struggling all throughout the lineup. The Penguins are excelling all throughout the lineup. If the bottom fell out of this series and the Penguins lost this series, I would be utterly dumbfounded. I would have
That'd
no words.
That'd be shocking. That'd be one of the biggest upsets in Cup Final history, at least for how the series has gone, even though San Jose is a formidable opponent.
No question. If that were to happen at this point, I would just be dumbfounded. So I think Thursday night is it. Obviously, if the Sharks win that game, we have ourselves a series, and you know, almost anything can happen at that point. So it is a big game, and I think, like I said, it's not a necessity that the Penguins win the game, but it is a necessity that they treat it with the importance that it has, and I think they will at this point. I don't expect anything less from them. I think that's it for me. I think the Penguins have been phenomenal. They've raised their level as they've gone along. And when they got their backs against the wall against Tampa Bay, since they went down 3-2 in that series, they've looked nearly unbeatable, pretty much have been unbeatable, minus letting one get away in game three of this series. So it's been a hell of a lot of fun to watch. So impressive, and it's really it would really be great for it all to culminate with a Stanley Cup victory on home ice. That would be a treat for all Penguins fans.
It's essential to take Game 5 and have a sense of urgency in Game 5, but it was even more essential to have that sense of urgency going into Game 4. And if you believe the Penguins are going to have that sense of urgency in Game 5, then your reasoning for believing that is because they had it in Game 4. Game 4 was the important game of this series. It might even have been this series. If San Jose won this Game 4, that would be back-to-back wins for them. They'd really, really feel confident. We wouldn't be saying the Penguins were outplaying them the whole series and were the prohibited better team. San Jose would feel like they're just as good. They then would be able to, even though going on the road, if they win that game, and even if they lose that game, they would know they had the comfort of going home and at the minimum getting that win and then going to Game 7. It would really change the complexion of the series if this was 2-2 versus the Penguins getting the win, making it 3-1, beginning the burying process of the San Jose Sharks and winning this series, taking a bite out of the Sharks again, and now being one away from winning the Cup going home. Momentum all on Pittsburgh, where it would definitely have been on San Jose with another game left to go to the Shark Tank in the final three. So it would have been almost a doomsday scenario losing that game. Obviously, the Penguins could easily have still won the series, but it would have been maybe even Sharks favored at that point, whereas the Penguins winning – now you're looking at the bigger picture of all four of these games, the Penguins outplaying them for 90% of it, letting one overtime game slip away, but mostly being all Penguins through these four and having a 3-1 series lead. So I love to see that sense of urgency in this Game 4. That's what you wanted. Even though the San Jose Sharks started off hot in the first period, the Penguins got theirs. They held the fort. They kept getting theirs again. They drilled the goals home when they needed to. And they held on for a win. And they finally held on in the third period to get that dagger rather than have to let the team score one, either hold on by one goal or go win in overtime. They were actually able to close the game better than they've been in recent series. So a lot to be positive about from this Game 4, and the Penguins now with a 3-1 series lead. And you just can't be mad about that sense of urgency that you didn't see from past playoff teams of the Penguins since 2009. And you really have seen it all through these playoffs, even when trailing Tampa Bay 3-2, you still saw that urgency. You're seeing it now again. Before I let you go here, Jeff, just two more final things to hit on. One, a guy who's been swept under the rug while we keep talking and everybody talks about Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Murray, what all they're doing to help this team, and Kessel too, maybe being the Conn Smythe guy. Olli Maatta got benched in a game, struggled through the first two rounds. Some were saying he shouldn't even be in any of the four lines for the Penguins and should just sit down and be a spectator to this championship. He's now been able to return. He's playing well. He had one of those defensive plays that stopped a goal in this game for Olli Maatta. Really has progressed. Really has got better. Just speak on Maatta for a second, and then I got one more surprise for you that's not necessarily about hockey.
Sure. No, Olli has absolutely elevated his level. And I don't know, for whatever reason there, he just absolutely struggled. There's no denying it. For the first two rounds, he was not the Olli Maatta that we've come accustomed to. He's not the Olli Maatta that the Pens gave that contract to. I think the injury or whatever he's dealing with, the hip, or when he hit the doorway that night, I think maybe that was still affecting him. But either way, he's dug deep here since coming back in the lineup. When Daly went out, he got his second life, and he's been fantastic. I mean, not even just if you take the numbers out of it, just watching him on the ice, he looks like a totally different player and a much more confident player. And, you know, every time you see him on the bench, he's kind of smiling, you know. So I feel like the load's been lifted off him. He found his game, and he's feeling real good about himself again. And he's making those just heady defensive plays. And NBC broke down that one breakout play that he made that was just gorgeous. Looked like he was going to go up the wall and then made a beautiful backhand pass out between the dots to send the Pens off to the races. So he looks like the Olli Maatta that we've grown accustomed to. And that's a great thing to see because, you know, everybody knows what Olli's been through with the thyroid cancer and all the injury troubles with his shoulder at such a young age. He seems like such a personable young guy and just a good person all around. So, I don't think anybody enjoyed expressing how badly he had played for the first two rounds. But as much as we didn't enjoy that, it's been that enjoyable to see him turn it around. So, there's no question. Olli has he's done a complete 180, and now he's he's playing 20 plus minutes, and him and Lovejoy together as a pair specifically have been just phenomenal, mm-hmm. especially in this series. They've been great. So Olli's been great, and that's a good thing for Penguins fans going forward, kind of put that bad little month behind us, and going forward, I think we'll see much, much more great things from Olli.
It's important to win a championship, and you want to win a championship regardless for the team, but it's so much better when you're winning that championship with everybody doing their part and playing well and kind of silencing critics. Crosby had his critics. He silenced them with three-game winners in the East Finals. Malkin has his critics. He finally silenced them, getting a goal and getting back on the stat sheet here in Game 4 in this big win. Murray's had his critics with him versus Fleury, and you like Fleury, but he wasn't able to do the job when he got the start, and Murray able to come back in there, get his job back, and become the starter and get more wins en route to a cup. Letang had his minus four game and then picks up from there with some of the best games you'll see from a defenseman in a playoff series, and maybe tonight being his best game of this cup final. You just enjoy that not only are you winning, because even if these guys are playing bad and you were somehow winning, you still like it. But not only are you winning, but you're silencing critics, and these players' legacies are improving, and Maatta's included, because you don't want to see Daly get hurt. He was a big help to this team from that acquisition. But Maatta, it's great to see him play well while the team's winning, and him get his first cup playing well at his young age and silence his critics too. That I just like to see that. Jeff, though, Penguins got the win, so we're going to cut this short. Before we go to bed, and hopefully you don't drink any more coffee and actually go to bed, because I don't know how you sleep with the coffee. but you're an MMA guy just like I am. Brock Lesnar's going to fight at UFC 200. That was announced the other day. He has his car wash of sorts with national media and ESPN Today talking about the fight. it's going to be a big deal for him, and it's going to be a big deal for MMA. He's still under contract with WWE, but he'll return there for SummerSlam. Before that, he'll have a little detour and do it for UFC 200. He made his debut at UFC 100. Now UFC 200, he returns to the Octagon. What do you make of Brock Lesnar's return to MMA and return to UFC? And do you think he matches up well in this particular fight, and we're going to see a Brock Lesnar win? Because even though this is a wonderful thing for UFC, Dana White, Vince McMahon, and WWE, if he would lose, that might hurt his legacy. That might make him less valuable to WWE in terms of them selling him as a beast. They're putting their chips down on him winning. He's confident. He's favored. Brock Lesnar back in UFC, and will he be victorious? He was not his last two fights. He lost his last two fights in UFC.
Well, I'll tell you what, as far as how I feel about it, I'm so pumped. I was ready for UFC 200 before that announcement. Now it's like, oh, I cannot wait until July 9th.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that matchup, that's kind of like one of the old-fashioned MMA matchups, you know, of different styles. If it stays on the feet, you know, and they're striking, Mark Hunt is as nasty of a striker as there is in that division. He's got heavy, heavy hands. I don't think Brock wants to stand and trade punches with him. But at the same time, if that fight hits the mat, Brock is going to do some serious, serious damage to Mark Hunt, and it's not going to last long. And I tell you, I believe Brock when he said earlier today how he feels much better. You know, he was struggling with I think it's diverticulitis, I believe. I could be wrong. But that's what he struggled with for so many years there.
You're correct, yeah.
And I think he really just wasn't 100% during his run, really at the top of the UFC, which is even harder to believe, but that's just how great of an athlete Brock is. I believe him when he says he feels really good right now, and I just think that it's going to be much easier for him to put Mark Hunt on his back than it's going to be for Mark Hunt to hit Brock and hurt him. So I think we see Brock by a first-round TKO stoppage with some old-fashioned grounded pound.
What a fight that would be, and what a night that would be if that is the result. And, yeah, Brock Lesnar said he wasn't 100%, and even though he lost his last two fights and was only 4-3 on his overall record with UFC, he was a former world heavyweight champion. He was able to do that relatively quickly, and I believe it's only his second match. He's one of the most unique athletes we're ever going to see. The guy completed a training camp in the NFL. He was a collegiate, world-class national champion wrestler, wins multiple championships and the world champion at WWE, which is sports entertainment. It's scripted, but it's real in terms of what they're doing actually in the ring, and then was the world champion with the UFC and MMA at the top of his game there. And he claims that while he's been at the top of his game and all of that, he wasn't at 100% because of his diverticulitis. So, hey, if now we're seeing 100% Brock Lesnar, I'm excited. I'm almost as excited to see Brock Lesnar in UFC 200 as I am to see the Penguins finally win another cup. To be honest with you, I mean that is going to be entertaining to say the least. And maybe he'll drop an F5 on Mark Hunt to pay homage to the professional wrestling day as well. He gets that win, and SummerSlam almost will be an undercard for Brock Lesnar this summer if he can get that win in UFC 200. I'm almost a little bit disappointed, though, to play devil's advocate on the opponent. Mark Hunt, yeah, eighth world heavyweight in the world right now. He's had some wins. I believe he has 7 wins under his belt. But you're not looking at a world champion. You're looking at a guy who's also lost some but doesn't have a disease to be able to say it's an excuse. And if they get on the ground, Brock's going to dominate him. If they get up on their feet, Mark Hunt usually is able to slug you, but I think Brock Lesnar could slug him right back. It's not like Brock Lesnar's a cupcake here. This seems like a matchup Brock Lesnar is very favored in, and Brock Lesnar might be able to give a gentleman sweep and a beatdown like the Penguins are doing to the Sharks to Mark Hunt at UFC 200. This seems like a matchup maybe you would have preferred to see him with a higher-ranked heavyweight or somebody that could have been more of a competition. This seems like this might not be much of a fight, kind of like the cup final. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. I think they could have done better. I'm more just excited that it's Brock, you know. I would watch regardless of opponent. But I agree. I think they could have done better as far as opponent. But, you know, I think it sets up for Brock to get a win under his belt, and then hopefully we go from there, and that's not the end. I hope it's not a one-fight comeback. The heavyweight division, in my opinion, needs some spicing up, and who better to do that than Brock? And you touched on it, just what a world-class athlete he is. And, man, it's just, I can't even imagine stepping in a locked cage with that man. Good God, help us all. I mean, I watch when I get the chills. So he's a lot of fun to watch. I can't wait. It's going to be a spectacle. And I actually, talking about MMA, I was on Twitter about 10 minutes ago. I saw Kimbo Slice passed away this evening.
I know.
That's a shame.
I almost was going to mention that. Yeah, that really is a shame. That's really surprising, and that is a shame. And you get all happy for news for MMA today with Brock Lesnar's return to UFC, and then you got to be sad with the way the night closes with Kimbo Slice passing away. So I guess we're going to end in a somber note with, yeah, Kimbo Slice, rest in peace. That definitely is unfortunate. And I almost didn't believe it when I first saw it, because you don't believe everything you see on Twitter. Twitter has faked some deaths before, but...
Sure. It wouldn't be the first time I was fooled.
It was not, but then you see it on Instagram, you see it all over through social media, you see national pundits talking about it, so apparently that is the case. Yeah, rest in peace to Kimbo Slice, and I'm excited for the Penguins to win that cup. I'm excited for Brock Lesnar back in UFC and UFC 200, even if it's a one-off, and Brock Lesnar most likely going to do the domination, the F5 style, for another win for his MMA career, just like the Penguins are so far doing to the Sharks. So, Jeff, I'm going to let you go
to bed now.
I'm going to enjoy the Thursday Game 5. Penguins maybe winning the cup on home ice, just the same as we'll enjoy UFC 200. I know you drink coffee a lot, and you got a lot of excitement with Brock Lesnar and the Penguins, so hopefully you can get some sleep. You're probably going to be staying up all night with your eyes wide open, dreaming of this summer of love for yourself. But appreciate the talk again.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
All right. Jeff from Manchin, our Wilkes-Barre Scranton Insider with PennsInitiative.com, earlier spoke to my co-host on these normal Radio PI podcast airwaves, Nick Case. We wrapped it up as much as we could. We had a bumpy ride, but our bumpy ride ends up being gold. Just like the Penguins roller coaster bumpy ride of this season is looking like it's going to end with the NHL version of gold, and that is Lord Stanley's Cup. And still kind of surprising. They're really, really going to do this. It does feel that way, or it is that way, from how they played in Game 4. They had the sense of urgency that was necessary. And all these stars, everyone with criticism is getting off the snide, is silencing those critics. They've had the production from the role players you would need to be a champion. They've had enough production from their stars to be a champion. Kessel coming over cannot be understated in what he's meant to this team. Crosby's got game winners. Malkin has not been 100%, but still impacting the game and finally gets a goal here tonight. Murray stood in his head when needed. He's given you enough when needed, even though Vasilevsky and Martin Jones have had to do so much more. But the Penguins are playing better hockey. They're creating more shots, more chances. They're now doing it on the power play. Through four games of the Stanley Cup Final, there's not much to be mad about if you're a Pittsburgh Penguin fan. I'm sure you will find something, as Pittsburgh fans tend to do, but they even got the night to themselves. Neil Walker's return to Pittsburgh was delayed, postponed due to a rainout in Pittsburgh, so the Mets and Pirates another day. Neil Walker's return to Pittsburgh, and that fanfare still also will occur another day. So this all was about the Penguins being one game away, one win away from being Stanley Cup champion again, and you need all of that to happen, all that luck to occur, and need to be good enough. And the Penguins are good enough, they're lucky enough, and they're deep enough. And those are the three tenets to be a champion. The Penguins right now are the champion of this year. So, as I catch my breath there, and I'm going to need to drink some pineapple juice before I go to bed. Not coffee for me. I'm not a coffee guy, but pineapple juice before I go to bed. Thursday night, do this on home ice, Penguins. Pittsburgh wants it on home ice. It's all maybe on the path to home ice. Maybe that Game 3 loss in overtime was just to get it more on home ice. Penguins win Game 4, the 2016 Stanley Cup Final, 3-1. Your score, they now lead in the 2016 Stanley Cup Final best-of-seven series 3-1, 3-1. Game 5 is Thursday night. They're looking to do it on home ice, looking to win a championship for the Penguin franchise for the first time, clinching it in Pittsburgh on home ice, and the first Pittsburgh sports championship clinched on home ice, home field, what have you, in Pittsburgh since Nick gave me the stat, the 1960 Game 7 World Series Pirate Mazeroski's homer over the vaunted historic New York Yankees. So you can't ask for much more than that. I already played some Brock Lesnar. I already played the F5 music for you, and Brock Lesnar will be laying down the smackdown in the F5 on Mark Hunt at UFC 200. Penguins continue to produce their own F5 for the San Jose Sharks. One more win and they're Stanley Cup champion. So they got the win. I think it's deserving to party hard tonight because the Penguins are one win away Stanley Cup. For everybody at PensInitiative.com and our cousin site, as we call it, Pittsburgh Sports. Initiative.com. Look for the podcast there on both sites, PensInitiative.com and PittsburghSportsInitiative.com. Pens coverage, analysis, articles, game previews, recaps, all on PensInitiative.com. Through this series, through the cup, through the parade, through the offseason, all the way to next season, over on PittsburghSportsInitiative.com, you get all of that and more. Plus, the Steelers' offseason going to another season for them, the Pirates season, maybe a postseason. What's going on with them. You get it all by all of us. Pittsburgh Sports Initiative and, of course, our own PensInitiative.com. You can find this podcast on both places. Before everybody at PensInitiative.com and PittsburghSportsInitiative.com, my co-host Nick Case, my guest here again, Jeff Permanchin, and for our sponsor, DKPittsburghSports.com, and this broadcast being powered by Dr. Sheeler of Sheeler Chiropractic. I, again, was your host, Mike Osti, and as the Pittsburgh Penguins continue to be en route to claim the NHL's version of gold, and that is the Stanley Cup, I keep giving you my version of gold, and that is radio gold here on the Pens Initiative Airwaves and the Radio PI Podcast Network. When it's time to party, we will party hard.